Committee on Budget for Tuesday, July 5th, 2005. Open a work session on SB 5584. Mr. Bender.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good afternoon, members. I've distributed a copy of a memo to you, which is titled The LFO Recommendation, Oregon Student Assistance Commission, Senate Bill 5584, with today's date on it. And I would refer you to that. There's another memo there that looks very similar, but that has a May 23rd date. That is just a copy of the recommendations that you approved earlier in May when you worked on this budget, and that's provided for your convenience. But all of the discussion that I would be planning to focus on would be on the July 5th memo. If for those of you who did look at the draft memo or were able to look at the draft memo that I sent to you over the weekend, this memo does have a couple of minor changes in it, which I will point out when we get to. But the July 5th memo basically indicates that, or reminds you that you have done a substantial amount of work on this budget already. And in May, you approved all of the recommendations relating to technical corrections to this budget and also the recommendations relating to the administrative expenses of the agency. What remains for you to work on today are a determination of the final funding level for the Oregon Opportunity Grant Program and also to make one technical correction, which is actually in the memo itself. That's the thing I list first. So, if I may refer you to this memo, and recommendation one refers to package 802. And what we are recommending here is that you modify a action that you took back in your May subcommittee work session on this budget. And that was the following. The governor's budget assumed that there would be 2 years of federal funding from the federal government for the Opportunity Grant Program. The federal government does provide some funds that the state combines with general fund and lottery funds to finance the Opportunity Grant. When you had your work session in May, upon LFO's recommendation, you reduced the amount of federal funds in the budget from 2 years to one, because at that time, we believed that the federal government would not be renewing, reauthorizing this program, and that only 1 year of federal funds would be available for it. So we had recommended, and you did approve the recommendation of reducing the federal funds expenditure limitation back then. Now, on further information, we do believe that both years of federal funds will indeed be available. So we are asking you to increase the federal funds expenditure limitation by $1,051,930 from the level you have previously approved. If you do that, the action would restore the limitation to the level in the governor's recommended budget, which is or does represent 2 years of federal funds for the program. So that is our first recommendation, to allow all of the anticipated federal funds to be expended.
Okay, we can go through the other results.
There is one other recommendation, and that refers to the level of opportunity grant support in this budget, and this is in compliance with the Senate Budget Committee Chair's budget plan. And our recommendation is that, and this refers to a package in the governor's budget, which is package number 200. The governor has a package in his budget that adds $47 million approximately of general fund and approximately $864,000 of federal funds to expand the number of opportunity grants awarded and to expand that program. What LFO recommends is that you reduce package 200, reduce the general fund in package 200 by $14,390,000 from the level in the governor's budget as printed. Net of this reduction, the budget will add almost $32.8 million of general fund for the Opportunity Grant Program to allow a number of expansions from the existing program. I've also distributed to you a chart here, a one-page chart.
Mr. Bender, on the chart here, you'll notice that you may have transposed these two numbers. You have the $32 million as the House number and the $20
million. Yes. I do apologize. Sort of a big error there.
Nice.
Let me see if I've done anything else that's a mistake.
The numbers look better.
No, I think
it looks like the rest of it is correct. It's just,
but those bottom numbers should be reversed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for pointing that out. If you look at this chart, as the chair mentioned, the bottom three rows in yellow, the Senate budget numbers and the House budget numbers are reversed. The Senate budget amount is the higher amount, and I apologize for making that error. Everything above that appears to be correct and explains the structure of these programs or what it is that's actually being funded, the types of expansions that are being funded in the governor's budget, the Senate budget, and the House budget plans. Where you see things shown in a blue shading, that shows situations where the House plan and the Senate plan, assuming you approve this today, are in agreement already. And the types of things that are in agreement include that in the second year, all full-time eligible students will be served under the expansions in both the House and the Senate program. There's some other agreements. Basically, there's also a concurrence in both the House and the Senate versions that the part-time student award that is being added will be delayed until the second year. So in both the House and the Senate version, part-time students do not receive awards the first year, but do receive awards the second year. Other agreements are that a supplemental merit award program that the governor had originally proposed in his budget are not funded in either the Senate or the House version. Where the two budgets currently differ are in the following elements. First of all, the major difference in terms of cost is that if you look at the first row there, in the Senate budget, you will serve 100% of all full-time eligible students the first year as well as the second, whereas the House only serves about 70%, which is the current level of students who are being served the first year, and delays the expansion to all eligibles until the second year of the biennium. That is really the primary difference that's generating the roughly $12.6 million difference in funding. There are other differences which are not that great, but they are differences, and that is in the amount or the level of the funding of the awards in the second year of the biennium. In the second year of the biennium, you'll see that the Senate version does have awards that are somewhat higher than the House award levels. And I can go into more detail if you would like that. The numbers here are basically LFO's estimates in many cases of what the award amounts would be in the second year of the biennium. But they're pretty close at this point, but the Senate does have somewhat higher awards for both full-time and part-time students than the House does in the second year of the biennium. As part of our recommendation, Mr. Chair, we have a budget note that we would ask you to approve. The budget note would direct the Commission to make awards so as to fulfill the parameters that are in the Senate plan, which include that all full-time students be awarded both years of the biennium, that part-time students be given awards the second year of the biennium. It indicates what the award amounts would be, and it does indicate that if the commission ends up running short of money because the projections turn out to be less than what the actual costs are, then the commission is to restrict the awards to the part-time students to allow as many full-time eligible students as possible to be awarded grants at the described award levels. So the commission is directed to prioritize serving all full-time eligible students in the event, which we hope will not occur, but in the event that the costs are greater than we are anticipating.
And for the committee's sake, it is our hope that that will not occur, that through the that our forecasts are accurate and through the management of the dollars that that will not be necessary. But we thought if there was any area in which we were going to make an adjustment, it should be the newest addition to the program. So the full intent here is actually to get everything up and running by the second year. So we've set the precedent that all of these items should be available to students in the coming biennium after this biennium that we're budgeting for. Is that all of your recommendations?
Unless there are any questions.
Okay. Well, we'll take a motion then, see if there are any questions. Is there a motion to approve the LFO recommendations for SB 5584?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any discussion or questions?
Mr. Chair, I just want to ask Mr. Bender one question. You had the one mistake switching the numbers. Did that change the percentages down below, or were those all?
No, you should also switch those. The Senate budget is providing 74% increase in the opportunity grant funding over the last prior biennium level, and the House is providing 47% increase.
Yes, Senator Nelson.
Okay, where are we getting this money from? Where's the hydraulics and all this?
Mr. Bender might be able to expand on this, but part of the money is from we adjusted, instead of having a tuition freeze, we went to a 3% plus 3% cap in higher ed, and we diverted about $6.5 million there. And then the co-chair found a little bit additional beyond that.
All right.
So, yes, Senator Gordley and then Senator Whitson.
Mr. Bender, in the House version of the budget, are there also budget notes? Could you describe what those budget notes are?
In the handout, the other handout that I distributed to you today, which is the May 23rd memo, the language of the budget note there is shown on pages 4 and 5 of that memo. So, give people an opportunity to find that.
What's the?
And it says that the Oregon students, in this particular case, it directs the commission to begin serving full-time students in the second year of the biennium, the 06-07 academic year. And it says that the commission shall calculate award amounts using the methodology that it used last year for both academic years of the 05-06 biennium. What that means is that the rates, the award amounts, are as shown in the House budget level, which are the same as the Senate version for the first year of the biennium. But in the second year of the biennium, the Senate increases awards to $1,435 for community colleges, for $1,735 for OUS students, and to $3,535 for independent college students. Those increases are not included in the House budget in the second year, but there is simply an inflationary increase from the first year of the biennium.
Just a follow-up, looking at the chart, just wanting to understand the range in year two on the House budget for independents.
Senator, the existing methodology that the commission has used to grant awards is as follows. All community college students are awarded the same amount, regardless of which of the 17 institutions they attend, and all Oregon University students receive the same amount, regardless of which of the 7 institutions they attend. For the independent colleges, There are separate award amounts in the current methodology for each college, and they range from a low of $2,052 for full-time students at the Birthing Way College of Midwifery up to a maximum of $4,432 for students at Reed College. These are based on costs of attendance. Under the governor's original proposal, the range of awards for independent college students was dropped, and a common award was to be established for them, as there is now a common award for community colleges and OUS students. The governor's original level of that common award was $3,600. Under the House plan, they do not change the methodology, so they maintain the range for both years of the biennium. Under the Senate plan, you don't change the method until the second year. So in the first year, there'll still be this range. In the second year, the award amount would be set at $3,535 for all students at independent colleges.
Thank you.
And Senator Whitson?
Yeah, Mr. Bender, on the House budget, what is the maximum increase allowed in tuition?
On the House budget, the maximum increase is 3.25% the first year and 3.5% the second year of the biennium.
Any additional discussion? Can we call the roll on the motion?
Well, Mr. Chair, I just want to say I think this is a really good budget. I'm impressed. I like the work that we did earlier in the session, and I like the work we have here now in front of us.
Aye.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Senator Walker?
Aye.
Senator Whitson?
Aye.
Senator
Whitson? Aye. Motion passes. Do we have a motion to send SB 5584 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, may I clarify that you are now approving the actions you took in both May and today?
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Thanks, Senator Gordley, including that in her motion.
That was the intent, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Please call the roll. I apologize. Any additional discussion? Please call the roll.
Senator Gordley?
Aye.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Senator Walker?
Aye.
Senator Whitson?
Aye.
Chair
Temple? Aye. Motion passes. Carry the full one to the floor. So now we have the state library. Colleagues, well, we're changing LFO analysts here. My understanding, the state library, we're making a small adjustment, and we're basically going to pass out now. We already passed out the Senate version some time ago. We're going to pass out a House version with a small adjustment, and this will be the final action that we're going to take on the state library, and we'll go to full and then to the floor. And so this budget will be done in both chambers. I will close the work hearing or the work session on SB 5584, open the work session on HB 51158. Ms. Brown.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I will thank the good chair for doing my summary for me. He's corrected me. You were making minor adjustments. The 3% services and supplies and capital outlay reduction totals $11,504 in the general fund. There is also one small technical adjustment to the PERS calculation that is included. So it's a grand total of a $10,825 reduction to the general fund budget for this agency. In all other aspects, it is the same that you passed out. It actually passed the Senate floor on May 23rd.
Any discussion? Is there a motion to recommend House Bill 5115A with a due pass recommendation to the full Senate committee?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Any additional discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, motion passes. Senator Gordley, would you take that?
Yes.
With that, we are done, actually, for today. I have been trying to get a few bills that people have been requesting to the committee. So far, I have not been successful. We are still working on capital construction issues. I do not know what will happen with those as we get on into the final days of the session. I would stay tuned to those discussions, but I have nothing actually to schedule now for the committee. We've scheduled everything that we've been given so far, but I'm still trying to get a few other bills. So far, not having any success.
So, Mr. Chair, in other words, we need to turn the thumb screws a little tighter?
No comment.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd like to pursue that a little bit. Not to create any discomfort for you at all as chair of the committee and working with other leadership, but can you say more about what that process is that will result in other policy bills coming down to the committee or not? What's the criteria being used to select what comes?
Well, Senator Gordley, some of the bills that have been requested by various members have been heard. Others are actually on the short list, meaning that they are actually on the list, the short list that LFO has. They've just not been referred to the subcommittee. And I think it's simply just a matter of talking to me more and talking to the chair of the Senate committee more and convincing him that some of these bills deserve to be heard. That's basically where we're at. We do not have that many bills. Even if I listed all of them that could possibly come here, we do not have very many bills. There is one bill that I do not have the number for that there's some issues around that we may be able to resolve, and that's the Parents to Scholars bill that ultimately could come here, but we need to resolve some fiscal impacts of the bill before we can get it. So that's where we basically are. I think Senator Gordley is in about the same condition in her committee. We're trying to get a certain bill to the Senator Gordley's committee, and we don't have it yet. So with that, we are adjourned, and we have nothing scheduled tomorrow.